But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, and certainly the views of our callers. Our telephone number, if you'd like to call, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But please do not call unless we specifically ask for calls this evening. Please do not call unless we specifically ask for calls, because we have with us our good friend Bill Sardi, who's a health journalist and certainly one of the most knowledgeable people I know on issues dealing with alternative medicine, dealing with regular medicine, and sometimes the terrible catastrophes that are befalling people who believe what their doctor tells them. Now, please don't think I'm criticizing doctors. I'm telling you that as a physician myself, so often I tended to repeat what I was told by the detailed people, what I read in my news articles, medical articles. Very often that was slanted and was untrue, because we have people who write medical articles who are getting paid off by the drug companies. And as we've seen recently, suddenly New England Journal of Medicine has retracted an article it put out back in 2001. Well, I'm going to let Bill Sardi tell you all these stories about that. There's so many things that are happening out there that many times the doctors don't know, and it's up to you to learn. It's up to you to get to your doctor and clarify what many of these issues are. But he should not be listening to the detailed people. He shouldn't even let them into his office. And with that as the background, Bill Sardi. Hi, Bill. How are you doing tonight?
Well, pretty good. You know, the doctors are finally taking a stand, and it's a little belated, but the AMA, American Medical Association, did this past week suggest to the Food and Drug Administration that they cease, stop, do not permit advertising for new drugs, meaning not on television. You can go to the doctors and introduce it to them, but you can't go to the public with these things. This is where the problem with Vioxx showed up. It was widely promoted as if it was new. It was safer than ibuprofen and aspirin. Of course, it wasn't. It was mortal for many thousands of Americans. And then the thousands came, and the doctors were not the final protectors of the public. They fell for the advertising, too, because, well, it brought a lot of patients to the office. And, of course, the result was the doctors felt misled, and many of them were. Though apparently the New England Journal of Medicine appears to be a little culpable in this, too. They're trying to put the blame on Merck, but it appears that they even knew way back 5 years ago that there was a problem with Vioxx. So as you can see, there's been a retraction of that paper, or correction, regarding the safety of Vioxx. Well, obviously Merck misled the publication, New England Journal of Medicine, and the doctors with this misinformation. It wasn't a glaring piece of information, but nonetheless, they weren't exactly forthright in the numbers they used. And, of course, that meant maybe we should question any of these results. It turns out that Merck seems to be delaying. What they claimed is that it didn't appear that the side effects showed up in people for 18 months. It shows that they've been making that claim falsely, and they did it to avoid legal liability and hope the statute of limitations would wear out before patients could sue.
And, of course, one of the things is, if you'll notice on these television ads, the smiling individual, whether he's walking down the blue staircase or whatever it is, says, go to your doctor and ask him if our medicine is right for you. And knowing full well that they've got their detailed people out there telling the doctors what to say, and many oftentimes giving them lethal information. Well, Bill, pick the story up there.
Well, certainly it does look sour for Merck, and the story is not just what you hear in the papers. A lot of information about Vioxx, a new trial coming. There have been 6 trials. Merck has not paid out a dime yet to any of the victims' families, even though it's lost $299 million in these judgments. They're working on appeal, trying to use political clout, trying to get Their friends in Washington, D.C., even the President of the United States, got up and said maybe we should lobby for limits on these types of lawsuits. Well, of course, you're talking about the downfall of a $23 billion company, Merck Incorporated. And, of course, Merck, a drug giant, rich with cash, billions of dollars, about $5 billion a year in profit out of its $23 billion in sales, could fall. And the reason why we say this, they have over 13,000 lawsuits on the Vioxx case, and they may be facing some lawsuits on their osteoporosis drug. This is the Fosamax, so which could be another 10,000 consumer lawsuits, as well as the patent expirations they're now facing. Their Zocor cholesterol drug has just gone off patent this Thursday. And, of course, their Proscar drug, which is used for prostate, that just went off of patent. So you're talking about losing over $3 billion with one of those, another $406 million with the Proscar in annual sales. So this company is taking a giant tumble. And what it's trying to do is use its political clout to get back up into the profit arena. Its stock could drop and drop and drop, and they're trying to preserve it. Wall Street analysts trying to preserve it and saying, you know, it's a good stock to buy now because its price is down. Well, it was $70 at one time. That was 6 years ago. It's now about $35, but this stock could really tumble. And Wall Street is also trying to help it. The FDA is trying to help it by giving it accelerated preview and review of new drugs it wants to get approved. And, of course, just today you saw this sham, this terrible, terrible thing go on in at the Centers for Disease Control in Atlanta. While they're trying to bail out Merck and they approve and recommend this Gardasil vaccine for cervical cancer for women, it's a Merck vaccine. It's no better. They're saying 99 to 100% effective. It may never save one life. It is only 52% overall effective.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Bill Saadi. All right. Well, Doctor, Bill is talking about certainly the latest thing that Merck is trying to do. Merck is in real trouble. It not only has the lawsuits from Vioxx, it has the lawsuits for Fosamax. You've probably seen the ads on television of the woman with the white horse and the other woman saying, isn't it a wonderful time to live now? Now we have Fosamax. And, of course, many of the women, after taking it for years, find they're getting osteonecrosis of the jaw, and the jaw bone is just disappearing. And then they're finding after you've taken this for a certain number of years, your bones look fine on x-ray, but they get increasingly brittle and more prone to break. And so a lot of these claims that have been made, they've been experimenting on the American people, as they do with so many of the new drugs. And the curse says you have to have a large number of people take it for a long period of time before all of the complications begin to come out. So how is Merck going to counter this? Well, they're coming up with some new drugs, and one of them is a vaccine, and they want to give it to every 9-year-old girl in this country so she can be as promiscuous as she wants to and not have to worry about getting human papillomavirus and then secondary cancer of the cervix. But, Bill, how effective is this Gardasil? Have we any studies showing what happens when you give it to 9-year-olds and what happens over a 5- or 10-year period?
Well, this is exactly what Barbara Lo Fisher, the National Vaccine Information Center, has announced, warned us all of. We have no studies with 9- and 11-year-olds, and we don't have any long-term studies to prove that this actually prevents death or the cancer itself. What we have are short-term studies in young women in their 20s that it prevents the precancerous changes, but only in the two common strains that represent 70% of the cancers. Now, if women continue to have sexual contact, they're probably going to get one of the other, the 30% of the other strains of this virus later. They're still going to need the pap smears, and they may still, long-term, every one of these women may still get cancer despite the vaccine. And, of course, this has been widely promoted. $360 for a triple course of a vaccine. You got to take it three times. It's an obscene price. They're saying it's going to save women's lives. It will hardly save a woman in the United States because we have so many women getting pap smears and getting hysterectomies. About one out of every three or four women are hysterectomized, that we certainly don't see much cervical tissue left and for these cancers to occur. So we have very few deaths. Sadly, there's still 5,500 deaths, but there's over 100,000 of these worldwide, and it won't help any of those women because the drug is probably too high priced for them to obtain. So all of this is all about rescuing Merck and forcing, by law, to go to school. The 9-year-old, well, they said, okay, we won't make it 9-year-olds, we'll make it 11-year-olds, and so this was the recommendation today. But there's just no evidence for this. This is all a giant rescue effort for Merck because $4.4 billion of the $23 billion in sales, it could be lost, of course, with the Zocor drug going off patent. Now they're going to try and save that by selling Zocor down at the level of
generic, right.
Yeah, the generic drugs. I'm sorry, looking for a word here. and Fosamax, of course, is $3.2 billion of sales. Proscar just went off patent. Fosamax is under concern. Vioxx was another $3 billion of sales. You're undermining this company until nothing will be left. And, of course, what we're seeing is they're trying to get the FDA granting priority review on certain kind of drugs. They have a new drug for diabetes. They were going to apply with the FDA in 2007. They moved it up to this year. Well, of course they're saying that because they need some good news. Their stock price could tumble even further. They're getting approval on this Gardasil, this cervical cancer vaccine, but it's being forced on young girls by law in order to get into school, these kind of things. They're trying to take a double cholesterol drug. It's a combo drug of Zocor plus another drug called Zetia, and trying to get it approved. They're saying it works better than a competing cholesterol drug, trying to get back into that market. They're trying to get another vaccine called Rotatec for diarrhea approved. They got another one called ProQuad, which is for measles, mumps, rubella, chickenpox. All of these vaccines are approved by government agencies where they can then declare it mandatory in schools and so on. So this is the kind of thing that you're going to have is the collusion of government in with this whole thing in order to try and see if they can't pull Merck out of the grave. And really, that's where it's headed, if you can believe, a $23 billion. But
one question before we go on. What does it do? How much does it cut down on the positive pap smears? In other words, women ordinarily get a pap smear. They get it on a yearly basis looking for a cellular change of the precancerous lesions. And if
well, they find we didn't actually. You're bringing up a very good point. And, of course, I wrote a whole little piece on this on our website at knowledgeofhealth.com. And, of course, they didn't really see on the pap smear basis. When researchers examined the effect of the vaccine on abnormal pap smears, they observed no statistically significant difference in the incidence of abnormal pap tests among placebo or vaccine recipients. That's the Journal of Obstetrics and Gynecology of January this year. That makes the entire hearing today and the meeting at the Centers for Disease Control a fraud.
And
they know this data.
And it's, the thing is that you do the pap smear, you're looking for malignant changes or pre-malignant changes in the there. And, of course, then you can always do a cold cone or something of the sort on the cervix. And, you know, hopefully then the cancer won't develop. But here you actually want to give this to every girl so she won't get cervical cancer. And yet there's no difference in the women who have the vaccine and then the placebo group as far as the positive pap smear is concerned.
No, there isn't. And, of course, you're still subject to the other strains of the virus over your lifetime. Now, we showed at the website that if you just took some folic acid and vitamin C, this is kind of like getting a cold. You get a virus. Many women get it and never get the cancer and it goes away. And it has something to do with your immune system. There's a connection made in the last year between folic acid, a B vitamin, and you're 7.5 times more likely to exhibit precancerous cervical lesions if your folic acid levels are low. And, of course, has something to do, vitamin C-rich foods also are involved. You can actually get this virus to either go in hiding, not come back, or just go away. And what you need is to understand is folic acid and vitamin C will get at all 14 strains of the virus, which the vaccine will not. And, of course, it will get at any abnormal pap smears. They won't occur. So good nutrition would work a lot more effectively. Why they were even showing here this past week that the use of condoms, of course, would work better than the vaccine. Of course, they didn't present it that way, the way I just said it. I don't want to get into a big thing here on the radio about condoms, but the point is that these things don't give us a license to do things that are dangerous, but the point is here is there are alternatives. They're safer, they're more effective, and this vaccine is being promoted for one reason. Merck is dying as a company, and this is a political maneuver.
And, of course, the CDC is going right along with that. This organization is not interested in your health. I've been there. I've talked to these people, and I will tell you that that some of those people were just plain evil. And so certainly you have to know, you have to protect yourself, you have to protect your family, and there is no long-term study that shows this is of any use. Why are they rushing it in? Well, I hate to say it, but I agree totally. This is all about dollars and cents, and they don't care about lives, and they don't care about girls. In fact, what this really does is a license to be promiscuous. Today in America, we have 60 million Americans with a sexually transmitted viral disease. Let me repeat that. Today in America, we have 60 million people with a sexually transmitted viral disease. And we can attribute that directly to the policies of the Centers for Disease Control that's been saying for many years, go ahead and be promiscuous, just protect yourself, and you can see how good the protection really is.
Well, certainly, when we're looking at the numbers here, vitamin C and E, you'd have to get it from supplements. Your diet won't provide enough. And if you do take some supplements, it looks like you can get about 85% protection from the papillomavirus, taking some supplemental vitamin C and E. Well, the vaccine is 99% effective, but only for two strains, and showing 85% effectiveness for the vitamin supplements for all strains of the virus. Which do you think is more superior? You're not hearing this side of the story. It's all in the medical literature. The doctors are going along with this. Let's just vaccinate the girls. After all, we know they're all going to be, as they get a little older, promiscuous. We don't know what they're doing, so might as well vaccinate them all. And, of course, this is where we're going, vaccination. As government has, of course, colluded with the vaccine makers and then mandated this because they have the right to, government makes the rules. And then, of course, you've mandated in profits for the drug companies. And, of course, this is what we're getting concerned about. It may be all a useless exercise. Money for Merck, and no less cervical cancer for the women. They're falling for this left and right. And instead of really parenting and addressing their children properly and watching what they're doing and telling them that you really have to watch the number of sexual contacts you have, monogamous relationships. It's called a wedding ring. I think that's probably the best advice that we can give them. Even if it is ignored, it's still the advice we need to give.
And, of course, every time you take a vaccine, there's all the adjuvants in there, the aluminum hydroxide and other things to stimulate the immune system. And you create an artificial stimulation of the immune system. And then as soon as you begin to get over that, a year later, they give another vaccine. And then another vaccine and another vaccine. And we see a dramatic increase in autoimmune disease and allergy and asthma and all sorts of the diseases related. Why? To the increased stimulation of the immune system being created, I believe, in many instances, by repeated vaccination. Well, Bill, pick the story up there.
Well, certainly we're not hearing the whole side of the story, but Merck is a rather unconscionable company. It's just unbelievable what is going on with them. The head of Merck now says he doesn't lose a night's sleep over Vioxx, even though it's killed thousands of Americans. What a what an inappropriate statement to make. Of course, Vioxx, and it was the drug that started the downfall, but it's continued on. And as this month, this May and June, has come on, the Food and Drug Administration first announcing the approval of a vaccine called Zostavax on the 26th of May, then June the 5th, it got approval for a Hodgkin's lymphoma drug. And then also on June the 5th, they moved up the drug timeline for a type 2 diabetes drug. You see all this maneuvering for this, the new drug called Januvia, expected to get $3 billion in sales. And then 2 days later, on June the 7th, Merck said the Food and Drug Administration granted priority preview of its cancer drug called Xilinza for treatment of advanced cutaneous T-cell lymphoma. You see all this now. Going on, June 19th, Merck said a new clinical study showed Vytorin was significantly more effective than another cholesterol drug in controlling cholesterol. So, again, all these orchestrated right on these dates. And, of course, then the June the 8th, here Gardasil gets approved by the FDA. And then finally the CDC today gives it its blessing as the cervical cancer vaccine. All of this has been moved up the timeline. Some of these things were not due to be announced or anything till next year. And so it's all orchestrated, trying to save Merck in the middle of a giant downfall. And, of course, they've decided to fight every one of the consumers in this Vioxx case. They're trying to get the FDA to put it back on the market, give it that black box warning, and therefore declare, listen, if the FDA says it's safe, then they can use that as defense in court. And, of course, this is exactly what they're trying to do. They haven't paid out a dime in any of these lawsuits yet. And, you know, Merck has a number of other drugs that it makes. Singulair is the top asthma drug in the country. Cozaar for high blood pressure, and then Fosamax. There are its other hallmark drugs. And I'm wondering if any of them are safe either. Are you taking any of these drugs or any of your loved ones? You're dealing with a company that lies to the FDA, certainly is disingenuous with the American public, and certainly is fighting them all the way. Once they are responsible for the death of a loved one, they're fighting it in court. No apologies, nothing. They even hid from their own investors the fact that they might be liable up to $50 billion of liability in the Vioxx case. They hid that in their 2005 annual report. They didn't set aside any money for it. And, of course, this is the kind of thing you get. They went after 36 key doctors in the United States who were critical of Vioxx, made them consultants, made them write papers, paid them off, and handsomely were able to neutralize these 36 doctors. It was a program that was uncovered by the attorneys for some of the plaintiffs in this Vioxx case.
But there were a couple of doctors who were honest, and they targeted them and destroyed their careers.
Well, they did. This, of course, was a doctor at the Cleveland Clinic, Eric Topol, and then some others. And, of course, they really tried to destroy David Graham, who pointed all this out. He had to
hold that thought, Bill. We'll be right back here in just a moment at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Bill has pointed out that during the trials, it's been found that there were about 36 doctors in influential positions in America who realized the terrible danger of Vioxx and the marked increase in the incidence of both stroke and heart disease. And so a lot of these doctors were simply bought off with speaking engagements or consulting status, and there were only a couple who really had the courage not to go along with the bribes, and they were targeted for destruction, among them Dr. Eric Topol at the Cleveland Clinic. Pressure was brought to bear to destroy his career. One of the most interesting stories is the story of Dr. David Graham, who worked for the FDA in charge of drug safety. And when he had the audacity to tell the truth and to go before the Senate and talk about all the people who were dying, they targeted him, did everything they could to make his life miserable. And actually, if you go to our newsletters, why, you can actually find his testimony before the United States Senate. We published it, so important. The fact is that Merck knew before the drug was ever released, of the significant increase of heart attacks, and I think it was something like 7 times the increase in comparison with another drug that produced, 7 times increase in the incidence of heart attacks. And even the next study they did, which compared it with another drug, another one of the COX-2 inhibitors that they knew produced heart attacks, it still, I think, was 3 or 4 times the incidence of heart attacks with Vioxx. It was an especially deadly drug. And they concealed this information, from the doctors. And when doctors would ask to detail people, about the relationship between heart disease and Vioxx, why, the detail people would tell them to write to Merck. And then, of course, Merck would tell them to write to the FDA. How many doctors have time to go to all that trouble? And even if they did write to the FDA, the FDA wasn't going to tell them the truth. I mean, it's really, when you read what has gone on here, it makes you not only lose faith in the drug companies, but specifically in the Federal Drug Administration and all the other government committees there that are supposed to be protecting our health. I think it's time people started thinking about protecting their own health. Bill, how can people get to your website and pull down those great articles you have on not only Vioxx, but on this a wonderful new vaccine that we're going to give to every 11-year-old girl, so she can go out and be promiscuous?
knowledgeofhealth.com. There are reports there on autism, high blood pressure, alternatives to many of these medications, and heart disease, how to fix it if you got angina, natural ways to do it. It's all there, and it's all free, and there's no obligations at all. You don't have to sign up. If you'd like to get our regular newsletter that goes blasted out to you on email, that's free, too. You can sign up for that or a wonderful free e-book, The Collapse of Conventional Medicine. And, Dr. Stan, we're going to see more of all of this because as we look at this, in the next few years now, there are 70 U.S.-approved drugs, 14 of them with a combined sales of $27 billion, that are expected by the drug companies to lose patent protection in the next 5 years. And they're going to have to try and bail out Big Pharma, the big pharmaceutical companies, as all these drugs, billions of dollars of them, go off patent, and all of their political minions are going to try and keep the cost of drugs high to consumers and insurance plans as they try to protect the drug stocks. And, of course, it's been brought out. We have it in our report. How can you get any regulation when congressional leaders have access to information before drugs are approved and so on? Insider trading information? Well, they're bringing it up that they're trying to introduce legislation that would prevent members of the federal government from buying stocks and so on based on being privy to information before the public gets it. And, of course, can you imagine the secretaries at the FDA, how easy it is when you're walking down the hallway to ask a researcher, oh, are you ready to release that study and what's the result going to be? Well, they're asking for a good reason, because if that drug gets approved, they'll tell their uncle and their cousin and everybody else to buy. You see, this is the elites, and they own the stock, and so do many people in Congress.
What was that figure that recently somebody analyzed how well the stock, how well the congressman did on the stocks they did? And the average congressman did far better than even the best people on Wall Street?
That's right. According to these researchers, the congressmen seem to get about a 12% return on their on the market, and a great analyst on Wall Street getting beating the market by 2 or 3% is considered a wizard. So how do the congressmen beat it by 4 or 5 times better than that?
I guess maybe they're so much smarter than the rest of us. We're going to be back here. That website is knowledgeofhealth.com. That's knowledgeofhealth.com. Go there, pull down these articles, read what Bill has written. I look forward to his missiles all the time. You'll learn a lot. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to have to be responsible for your health. You can't depend on anybody else. Well, This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our special guest this evening, Bill Sardi, is a health journalist, and he certainly has more information on what's going on in medicine than any doctor, because the doctors don't have the time to do the reading and studying Bill does, and he has a background in medicine, so he understands the terms, he understands how to read the articles, and of course to get to what they really say. So many times medical articles are written not to reveal but to conceal the fact. It really depends on who's financing the doctor who's doing the research in some instances. And sometimes we have the best scientists writing articles that money could buy. Go ahead, Bill.
Well, Barbara Lowe Fisher at the National Vaccine Information Center, that's NVIC.org if you're going on the Internet, and she brings up and very carefully reveals that when they approved this Gardasil vaccine for cervical cancer, they used aluminium, a form of aluminum, as the adjuvant, that is, as an immune stimulant. You've got to put something in that's irritating to the body, and then it also helps kill the virus and then attenuate it, they call, and then, of course, provide this immune stimulant. Well, the problem is it's toxic, it's a heavy metal, can destroy brain cells, but what they did is they also used the aluminium in the placebo. Now, what this did was when they compared the side effects between placebo, that is, an injection of saline water, and the actual vaccine, the side effects look similar. But if you'd have just injected saline only without the aluminium in there, then you would have seen a great big difference. And what's odd is, even though this study was 9,700 women and so on participated in this, there were 17 deaths in this group among young people. This doesn't make sense. I mean, there's a lot of things that aren't being explained here. And they had a number of cases of arthritis among young people in both the placebo and the vaccine group.
And what it really said was that if you took the adjuvant, you took the aluminum by itself, why a certain number of people were going to develop lupus and arthritis and other complications, even without the vaccine. It was really what the vaccine was
And they were trying to explain it away by saying, see, the placebo group was better off than about the same, but they used this, it wasn't really a placebo, it wasn't inactive, it had the aluminum in it, and of course that's what she's bringing up. This is the National Vaccine Information Center Director, Barbara Lowe Fisher. Of course the study is rigged.
Hold that, we'll be back here in just a moment at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly Bill is bringing out a very, very important issue. When they did the original Gardasil study, this is the cervical, the human papillomavirus vaccine that they want to give us, they ran a study where they compared women who took the vaccine and a placebo group. But the placebo group actually did not simply get saline water. What they got was the material that was in the used the stimulant, this aluminum compound that they put in with the vaccine. And a lot of the girls who simply got that, you know, got all sorts of problems and arthritic problems. And they said, see, there's very little difference between the girls who took the vaccine and the ones who took the placebo. But they rigged the study because the placebo wasn't a placebo at all. It wasn't inert. It had the same toxic heavy metals in it that the vaccine does. And of course, growth groups got arthritis and other complications. So go ahead.
Well, here we certainly assume with the FDA's nose in the air and the drug companies as well that, of course, drugs are approved by the FDA. We often hear dietary supplements are unsafe and unregulated. This is what we're being told, but the FDA has never required safety studies. Even though they're required by law, they never mandated that the drug companies actually turn in the reports on safety for many of these drugs. So these drugs are, once they're approved for effectiveness, then they're to be put into use with humans and see how safe they are. Because we don't know in thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands of people, and in comparison to other drugs, exactly how safe they might be. So many of the drugs you're taking today are relatively unsafe, And of course, this is just the kind of thing that's coming out. They just noted today or yesterday that beta blockers in Great Britain, that everyone should stop taking beta blockers in Britain. Now, not a word here, but in Great Britain, after a large review by the government there, beta blockers, compared to other drugs, increase the risk of a stroke, and you should be using other types of drugs to control your blood pressure. But notice here, no word about this. It was in the news media, more so in Great Britain, obviously, but not a response here, as the FDA, again, covers for the drug companies. This is the third time now that it's been said that beta blockers should be abandoned by various medical experts, but again, the FDA continues to approve its use and so on, and this is kind of what we're getting. And now we see another stunning report this past week, I'm sad to say, is that the Vioxx drug, which so many millions of Americans took, now this is 20 million Americans. We have a population of just about 300 million now, and of course, what they are reporting this week is a large number of people who stopped taking Vioxx had their heart attacks and strokes up to a year after they stopped taking the drug. Apparently, it has long-term, serious, mortal side effects. If you took Vioxx, I would certainly be on lots of antioxidants, vitamin C, vitamin E. I'd be taking vitamin C three times a day. I'd be taking a chondroitin sulfate, which is used to rebuild arteries and collagen, and I try to rebuild up my system because apparently there's some damage done by this that long-term poses some problems. You're still at risk. And, of course, we're out here trying to save lives, not win lawsuits, not condemn drug companies, but we are trying to warn you away from all medicines in the United States. I said all medicines. Because of the FDA collusion with the drug companies, we cannot rely that any of them are safe. Many of them have been approved. And, of course, these are just giant financial bonanzas once they're approved. And, of course, they get into these protocols that are written by health plans so that every patient who has blood pressure, diabetes, or heart problems has to get these drugs. And the next thing, it's billions of dollars of sales, or what they call a blockbuster. So, how long this is going to be allowed to go on? Well, it looks like forever because the referees are paid off. That's our government elected representatives. They own Merck. They own a lot of the stock themselves. And, of course, they're trying to unload it now. So you see Wall Street trying to say that the Merck stock is a good buy. And understand, you only need to bring down a drug company's sales by 5% in order for investors to start looking elsewhere, thinking it's headed down. And that's why you see the drug companies doing two things, either merging with another company, making it look like their drug price went up, stock price went up, or increasing the price because they don't have to be competitive in their pricing. Medicare doesn't even require that there's competitive bidding on the medicines. It's forbidden by law. That's how far our congressmen have gone in protecting the drug companies. Wall Street in America, the most profitable companies are right now are obviously the oil companies with about 20% profit, and all of the pharmaceutical companies with about 20% net profit. So Wall Street will tumble if the pharmaceutical companies tumble, and this is what they're concerned about overall. Ladies and gentlemen, it's more about Merck and its stock price than it is about anything that Merck is doing to save lives or prevent disease. And that's what it's all about today. And you're getting shortchanged. You're the people in the dark. You have no idea what's really going on. And, of course, I'm just trying to point it out to you. All this activity, when in summary, when you see it, there is a flurry of activity going on by government to bail out Merck. And, of course, it's not about saving your life. It's not about getting compensation for harm done to you by an unsafe drug. It's all about covering up. And, of course, you're going to get nothing. You're just trying to get attorneys to help you sue if you've lost a loved one due to one of these drugs. And it looks like Merck's going to fight you all the way with the money you paid them. And it's going to go on appeal, and it's just going to wear you down. and they're trying to go as long as they can without paying out a dime.
And because one of the things they're trying to do is they're trying to get legislation passed that says, look, if the FDA approved of our lethal drug, we're not responsible anymore. The government said it was all right, so you can't sue us. And they're trying to get that legislation through, just like they tried with the Office of Homeland Security. That legislation was going through in the middle of the night when nobody knew what was happening. They stuck in a little provision there that said you can't sue a drug company because of the thimerosal. It was to protect Eli Lilly, because they have knowingly harmed, literally millions of our children. One in every 160 children is autistic, and most of that, the vast majority of it, is related to Eli Lilly's thimerosal. They tried to get that through. In fact, they passed it, and there was such an outcry from the American people, they had to back off and take it out. But it was simply an effort to protect one drug company that is intentionally hurting our children. Intentionally, because there is only one study that shows thimerosal is safe, and everybody in the study died. Now, go ahead, Bill.
Well, certainly, when we look at this in total, Vioxx and, of course, Fosamax in trouble now, causing jaw problems among women that are taking it for osteoporosis, and Proscar, the patent expiring on it, Zocor, the patent expiring. So you're talking about a $23 billion company with possibly losing $11 or $12 billion of its sales, and even more, maybe. And then facing lawsuits, in the Vioxx case, maybe up to $50 billion of exposure, and here comes Fosamax, it could be another 10,000 lawsuits. You can see why they're fighting. They have no choice but to fight this in court, because if they start paying off, billions of dollars are going to have to be paid off, and of course, they're going to fall as a company. Merck will no longer exist. The only way it could possibly survive is of course to merge with another drug company, but it looks like such a fallen house of cards that it, certainly it's just, you know, it's a, right now it's hard to tell the passengers don't look out the window, because only three of the engines have failed and only one of them still working. So this is kind of what's going on. And, of course, you, the American public, you're going to expect more of this from all the drug companies. We're just pointing this out. The Food and Drug Administration, this whole charade that they've been carrying on for years, approving these drugs, telling you that dietary supplements are unsafe, the whole thing is a deadly, terrible charade. And now they're getting caught at their game. They can't even keep stealing the money from the public. Merck is falling. It looks like an irreversible program, but, of course, their fate is possibly going to be bailed out by paying off these referees, the men in government, the people at the FDA, Centers for Disease Control, etc., and then they're going to line up your 11-year-old kids to help bail out Merck by giving them a vaccine that's, well, still not proven for safety and still may not work at all. $360, line up. Roll up your children's sleeves three times. They got these young girls got to get these shots. Who knows what will happen with them? We've never even done it massively in 11-year-olds. So there's no data to look at in that age group, and yet they went ahead and approved this. It's all politics. It has nothing to do with medicine. But they've conducted a giant campaign. Merck has gone to, of course, there's been a religious and moral objection to the vaccine, because it's kind of a way of saying, go ahead, have sexual activity, but we'll protect you with the vaccine. And of course, Merck has sent its representatives to focus on the family, to many of the other conservative groups in the country, religious and otherwise. And who knows where, I'm not suggesting payoffs have been made, but I am saying that their representatives have been there. So, they've kind of tried to quell this all down. They've had a giant public relations campaign. The news media is in on this. They're not here for you. What you're seeing on television, newspapers, etc. I've been writing all these reporters trying to tell them all this. Some of them get back to me and say they'll look into it, but, it's right here in the medical literature. It's a giant, giant, terrible thing that's being done on the American public. And of course, We've got 11-year-old girls now mixed up in the middle of this whole thing. What would they know about all this? So, you know, they're going to go to school and be told, well, you can't get in this year unless you have these shots. So, as we pointed out in previous programs, why even the veterinarians know better, and they're starting to back away from all these shots on all of our pets, causing cancer and other things, autoimmune problems. And of course, this is part of the whole issue. Is everything we seem to be inventing a vaccine for, my little 2-year-old would have had over 25 courses of vaccines by now in 24 months of being on this planet. Of course, we've refused them all. Young children, now they want to take and vaccinate them for the flu. Young children as young as 6 months of age, there are no studies or not adequate studies of the safety in 6-month-olds. And they're trying to say that, of course, that they're trying to save a few lives. Recent studies show the flu vaccine in young infants and toddlers will not save one life.
And of course, the other thing is it has a full dose of thimerosal in it, and they know how toxic it is to the brain. And now, of course, they've advocated the thimerosal shot for women who are pregnant. And that will go right through their bodies, right across the placenta to the brain of their child. And even they're recommending it for the first trimester.
Well,
why would you do that when the brain of that unborn child is the most susceptible, unless, of course, you had another purpose? And one thing, of course, they know the thimerosal in animals actually increases the incidence of abortion. Do we have any studies to show it's safe in pregnant women? If you look at the brochure, they will tell you there are no studies to show it's safe in pregnant women or safe for the fetus. And yet, of course, their government is recommending it for all pregnant women. Why would you do something like that, stupid, unintentionally?
Well, you now see that tuna fish in the can is unsafe. Well, it does have a natural source of mercury in tuna fish, as all fish do. It's not from contaminated waters. It's just a natural source. But, you know, the Food and Drug Administration now warning pregnant women, of course, to watch about how much of that kind of fish they eat during pregnancy, while they're telling women to line up for these shots that has far more mercury in it. And we've kind of given the public a giant message like we've taken the mercury out of the vaccines when they haven't, and a lot of them are just lower in mercury. They're not mercury-free, but they allowed them to say they're mercury-free because they had less mercury in it. Well, you know, the fraud goes on, the charade goes on. How much longer are you and your loved ones going to continue? You may love your doctor, but how much longer are you going to go down and continue to take these unsafe statin drugs, blood pressure drugs, the beta blockers, the statins? All of these drugs are unsafe. We're trying to give you alternatives. Yes, many of the doctors have been misled. They don't realize it themselves. If you're being told to take a statin drug, 1 out of 71 users will derive any benefit from it. 70 of you will get no benefit and only the possibility of side effects. And yet the doctor will look you right in the eye and tell you, if you don't take this, you're going to have a heart attack. If you're going to have a heart attack and you're the one who benefits from this, then you're going to escape a heart attack, but not a mortal heart attack. It does not reduce the mortality rate. So this is the problem with the statin drugs. Yet you're told a different story. We don't get these numbers and figures out of the air. We don't declare ourselves to be gurus or have superior knowledge. This is all right out of the medical literature. The doctors are either too busy or too lazy to dig up this information. And, of course, they get everything from scratch pads, pens, and everything else that's free, coffee cups, lunches, and all these other things from the drug companies. Why? Just keep sending your detail men, or, well, lately, one of the articles said the drug companies are hiring ex-college cheerleaders. I guess that peps up a doctor's day. So this is the kind of thing that's going on in medicine. It's terrible. It's our country. It's embarrassing. But the public keeps coming back for more. And I know so many of you listening are afraid, but I'm so afraid I can't get off my medicines. Well, you can wean yourself off. Try to find some alternatives. We try and give them to you at our website, but you'll never get well with most of these medications. Many of them deplete you of essential nutrients. And so this is part of the problem. The birth control pill will make you more vulnerable to the cervical cancer, the papillomavirus, to get cervical cancer, because it lowers your immunity, it depletes you of vitamin C and so on. So it's a never-ending disease manufacturing plant. That's what modern medicine has become. Keep you sick and keep treating you.
And of course, it's unfortunately, the average person doesn't realize that all the drugs, or so many of the drugs, do have other influences. And, you know, certainly if you were to take the statin drugs, it lowers your CoQ10, and they don't tell you to take CoQ10. And then, of course, and some people will get congestive heart failure. Their heart will begin to fail, so then they got to give you all sorts of medicines to treat the congestive heart failure you got because you were on a statin drug. And on, so many of the people on statin drugs have aches and pain, so they're going to give you a non-steroidal, and then you'll get a bleeding ulcer. We'll be right back. Well, Bill, you got 3 minutes to wrap up our program.
I'm just not sure. I think most of the American public is just kind of paralyzed by this. Their loved ones or they themselves take some of these medicines, most likely. They don't know what to do. They hear this kind of a program. But we have heard some wonderful things from people as they've slowly weaned themselves away from some of these problematic medicines. Found out they felt better than they have in years, and of course realized it was the real course of action that they needed to take. And of course, we didn't say jump off the medicines, we said wean yourself away. You may ask your doctor, he certainly wouldn't be in favor of any of this, but when you're taking these medicines and they deplete you of certain nutrients, even an aspirin tablet depletes you of folic acid. That'll make you depressed right there, because a deficiency of folic acid harms the brain, sets you up for Alzheimer's disease, and certainly depletes you, an aspirin does, of vitamin C, iron. It'll make you anemic, and of course you'll have skin bruising and all these things. So and then you're going to take maybe a birth control pill that adds more to the depletion of vitamin C. And this goes on and on and on, but of course you're not to take more than so much vitamin C. It could give you diarrhea, kidney stones, and all these other, well, of course it doesn't, but this is what you hear, and of course you're going to be in a continual state of illness. You really need to rethink all this. Go to our website, knowledgeofhealth.com, stick a few dimes in your piggy bank for Radio Liberty to support them. And try to keep this radio on the air so more people can hear this truthful information. And certainly the American people need to wake up and follow the rules. We've got a good doctor here on the air who is able to be a good arbiter for all of us and serve as good source of information on all these health matters. So we do thank you, Dr. Stan.
Well, I appreciate you so much being with us, Bill. Again, one more time, your website, so people will know how they can get the information you've talked about tonight, and then check out the original source material. It's accurate. How can they get in touch with your website?
Thank you. Knowledgeofhealth.com. If you don't have internet access, why, get somebody else to print it out for you. Go down to the library, whatever you'd like to get there, and it's pretty easy to do, and there's no obligations. You don't have to sign up for anything. No credit cards needed. None of those things. Are just trying to serve the public, and of course, good information there for you.
All right, God bless you. Well, thanks very much for being with us, Bill. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you.
Good night. All right, finally, that was Bill Sardian, and I always enjoy having Bill on. I will tell you that I've gone through his material. I've checked the original sources. It's accurate, and he does this full-time as a service to the people. I wish we had a few more people like Bill Sardian out there. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and once again, our guest has been Bill Sardi. His webpage, knowledgeofhealth.com. That's knowledgeofhealth.com. And I can recommend his material to you. I've checked it out. I've evaluated it. I've talked to many of the people who've written the articles. We've gone to the scientific studies. It's all true. They're poisoning the American people with fluoridated water. If you don't believe that, you go to the website of the lawyers, the engineers, and the scientists who work for the Environmental Protection Agency, NTEU280.org. NTEU280.org. That stands for National Treasury Employees Union, 280.org. pull down their material and then take it to your doctor and say, why are you poisoning us? Why are you recommending something that the scientists and the lawyers and the engineers who work for the EPA are pleading with the EPA and with the members of Congress and the Senate to stop the water fluoridation, and not a word in the controlled media. If you'd like more information on water fluoridation, certainly my talk on the hidden agenda, which goes with our hidden agenda syllabus, we recommend to you. And then, of course, we have our DVD on water fluoridation. We have the book, The Fluoride Deception. We have so much material on water fluoridation, 2 4 tape sets on it, my newsletters on water fluoridation. You can pull those down for nothing up on the Internet. But remember our number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. If you haven't read the wonderful book by our good friend Dr. Russell Blaylock, entitled Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, why, please give us a call. You can get that through us, as well as Russell's other books, Natural Strategies for Cancer Patients and Excitotoxins. And then, of course, we have Carolyn Dean's new book called The Miracle of Magnesium and Death by Organized Medicine, I believe it is, Death by Modern Medicine. You need to get these books. We have a great book on statin drugs. We have 4 tape sets on statin drugs. We have 4 tape sets on autism. There's so many children out there with autism. About 1 in 160 children have autism and never used to be like that, a direct result of them being poisoned by the vaccines, and the government knows it, and they're suppressing the information. There are treatments, and everything's being done to discourage those treatments that would help these innocent children. We hear about why Bill Gates and Warren Buffett are combining. They're going to have, you know, I don't know how many billions of dollars, 60 or 7 billions of dollars to use for the children. They want to get vaccines for the children throughout the world, and they want population control, too. They're in favor of population control. Why would you be trying to save the children's lives if you're in favor of population control? You can't have it both ways unless, is it possible there's something in those vaccines that is going to increase sterility like mercury? Oh, they've taken the mercury out of the childhood vaccines, or most of it out of the childhood vaccines in the United States, but we've left them in for the children in those third world countries. Isn't it wonderful to have benefactors like Bill Gates and Warren Buffett who are vaccinating children throughout the world with vaccines that will destroy their minds in many instances and make them infertile? It's a two for one, isn't it? Of course, you'll have a more subservient group of people throughout the world, and you'll decrease their fertility. They know what they're doing, ladies and gentlemen, or at least somebody knows what they're doing. You need to get our material on population control. If you have not seen my talk, Planned Population Reduction, either the DVD or the video, you need to get it. You need to get our video on population control, our 4-tape set on population control, or my monograph on population control. The material is all there. It's up to you to find out if we're really telling you the truth. If we're not telling you the truth, you've got nothing to worry about. But if we are telling you the truth and you are not involved, then, well, men and women become accomplices of the evils they fail to oppose. Men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. And what I'm describing is organized evil on a scale unheard of in past civilizations. We have people of great wealth and who have an entirely different worldview. Please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for Radio Liberty. Again, my telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because we are at war today. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests. And, well, right now, of course, we are very glad to have with us on the line Bob Chapman from the International Forecaster. And I always enjoy Bob, especially now we are entering some very, very difficult times for the economy, really for the financial solvency of our people. And if you're seeing what's happening, you suddenly realize that the housing bubble has just about peaked out, and in some areas, prices of homes are beginning to drop a little bit. But in areas that traditionally where houses have moved very readily, it's taking longer and longer to sell houses. And if you want to sell a house and nobody's buying, what the thing you eventually do, you lower the price. That's how you sell your house. I think the housing market has topped out. And then, of course, we watch the stock market. Oh, it goes up one day, it goes down the next. Doesn't really make any sense. And have you ever noticed how almost all the stocks, on a real strong up day, almost all the stocks move together? In fact, they go up just about the same percentage. Isn't that a coincidence? And then, of course, we saw here about 3 or 4 weeks ago, all the precious metals going down together. Gold, platinum, silver, palladium, and now, of course, we begin to see them going up again. In fact, a rather dramatic rise here in the last few days. Well, Bob Chapman, thank you so very much for being with us again. Bob Chapman, are you there? Bob Chapman, are you on the line? Well, I hope Bob Chapman is going to be there, because I don't want to have to talk by myself. I don't know where he is. Bob, are you there? I'm going to hang up, and hopefully he'll actually call back. I don't know what's happened to him, but I do want you to hear what he has to say, because Bob is certainly one of the most astute observers of the financial scene. He's been at this game. Well, he even got started before I did, and I got started 44 years ago. But if you really look at see what's happening, why, certainly our economy is not good. You look at General Motors, their bonds are less than junk bonds, and so are Ford Motor Company. Ford Motor Company is actually closing down largely its operations in the United States and shifting to Mexico. General Motors is closing down its operations and shifting to China. They've just bought out some 30,000 employees that would be fired or leave their positions by the end of this year. And, of course, they have to do that. They can't just fire them because of the contracts with the unions. But they're giving the people $50,000 to $150,000 to buy them out. We find more and more of our major corporations are moving to other countries. Now, you can't be a great country if you're not producing anything. And yet there's an organized, orchestrated effort to encourage American corporations to move to foreign lands, and relocate there and hire foreign workers. And, of course, that leaves our employees here with having to take lower-paying jobs. Bob Chapman, are you there?
If you can hear me, I'm here.
I can hear you just fine. Okay.
Let's hope we stay on this time. We've been having terrible phone problems for the last couple of weeks. So if I go down again, I'll just call back in again.
All right, fine. Well, let's hope that you don't. Anyway, certainly this last couple of days has been a reversal of this massive dropout in gold and silver. Why is the price of gold and silver going up so strongly this last few days?
Well, I think that with the, we'll call it ammunition that they have left.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Bob Chapman to tell us why gold and silver are suddenly going through the roof here. Okay, Bob, why didn't you pick this story up?
So they're running out of ammunition. How they engineered this thing was that when Doyle got up to around 7:30, the United States government sold 500 tons of gold that was being held in their behalf by the IMF. That was sold through the Bank of England.
But, I mean, who actually bought that? Do we have any idea who bought it?
No, you never do, but it's my suspicion that it was sold between 680 and 650, and it's my suspicion the people who ordered the gold sold on behalf of the United States government, those people were the buyers, because by and large, the only people who can buy that kind of size are people who have enormous amounts of money.
Is it people like Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan, and Morgan Chase? Who are you thinking of?
Hello?
Yes, Can you hear me? Bob, are you there? I can hear you fine. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead. I can hear you. Bob?
Hello?
Yes, we are listening to you. Bob, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, go ahead.
Good. It was just interference in the line.
Okay, fine.
And I suspected that for a long, long time that these people who are the power behind government have been continuing to buy this gold. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go ahead. Go ahead, Bob. We can hear you fine. You just keep right on talking. Bob Chapman, are you there? Well, apparently we're having some problems, and we'll just wait for a moment, then we'll have to hang up. Bob, are you there? Well, basically, I'm going to hang up, and hopefully Bob will call us right back again. And what you have to understand, ladies and gentlemen, is that people, because of this artificial monetary system we have, a very small number of people have been able to accumulate great wealth. You can accumulate great wealth if you own banking monopolies, and you can create money out of nothing, and that is the secret of modern-day banking, the ability to create money out of nothing. And basically, this is what the fraction reserve system is. You only have to keep a fraction of the money that you need on reserve, and then, of course, so you can lend, you can create all sorts of new money. So if I were to go to buy a, for instance, a house for $100,000, put down $10,000, they have a 10% fractional reserve requirement, they can create $90,000 out of nothing, just a paper entry, and then of course, I have to, they give me the $90,000, at least the paper entry, and then I have to pay interest on that. And we'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Okay, Bob, go ahead and pick up the story. I was just explaining how the fractional reserve banking system works and how a certain number of people have accumulated countless billions of dollars. And, of course, they are the only ones who really can move in and buy up a 5 million tons or how many tons of...
Well, in this case, it was 500 tons.
500 tons, okay.
But they only can affect the market short term because I think they're running out of gold, and I think they have been for about the last year. And I think they save what they have left for special occasions, like the one you just saw. And so the lasting effect of the sale of gold in the market is not very long. We've seen a number of quick turnarounds, and this one was relatively quick. Not that there's not a chance that it could be knocked back down again, but we saw a pretty strong day today with gold up some $25 or so. And so they only can affect the market in a short-term basis. And so the way to play this market is to get long and stay long and occasionally make changes if you need to, but don't lose your position because we've got at least a year and a half to go. That is how long it's going to take in order to run to the end of the inflation that's being created if they stop creating it today. Now, we don't know when they're going to stop. And the key to that is the amount of money that is used for creating more money in the system, and also credit. And we publish those figures, as you know, every week. and the international forecaster. And when we see those figures start to go down, we'll know the contraction will have started. And there's a good chance it'll start after the election.
And of course, what they do is, it's simply not a matter of money. It is certainly a matter of money and currency and coin that's out there. But on top of that, of course, you have this credit. It's, you have the bank entries, and then you have the money that's owed. And they're increasing credit at just an incredible rate, aren't they, Bob?
Well, here in the United States, it's been 12% a year for the last 5 years. About last October to December, the Europeans started doing the same thing. In fact, the European Central Bank figures that came out today, and it's 8.9% increase over the past month, and 8.7% the month before. And if you add in other credit things, you're up around 10%. So we're not the only ones that are increasing, we being the Federal Reserve. We're not the only ones who are doing that. Others are as well.
But of course,
and we don't see other figures from other countries, so they're probably doing the same thing, because the word goes out from Washington, this is what you're going to do, and this is how we're going to approach this.
But of course, the thing is that
I don't think you're going to see a great contraction in credit, because they will force it. They will do it when they want to do it. And I don't think they're quite ready to do it. And if they started to contract, say, at the beginning of the year, then we would still have a year and a half run in higher inflation. And we know what to do during, you know, that period of time, and when that period of time ends. And so I think we're on a path here where interest rates will now slowly go up, and only go up when they have to. And at the same time, the real estate and stock market and bond markets will go down. It won't be precipitously, but they'll go down. And that'll evolve over the next 2 to 3 years. Well, they keep money and credit increased. And I think that somewhere along the line there, they'll just start to cut it back. I'm guessing after the beginning of next year. I won't know until we get there.
All right. Well, it's certainly these are unusual times. The thing is that the purpose of our Federal Reserve System, or our central banks, is to provide us with a stable currency, and that's the one thing that they're not doing, isn't it? Bob? Bob, are you there? I'm afraid we've lost Bob again, and so we'll have to call him back again and have him call us back, and hope we can. But you see, the purpose, the whole Federal Reserve System was set up in 1913, and the people in charge were assigned the responsibility of providing a stable currency, because without a stable currency, you do not have a stable society. And unfortunately, the Federal Reserve System was an example of setting up the number of foxes to guard the hen house. Because, of course, the whole idea of setting up the Federal Reserve was to keep the bankers from exploiting the people, as they had repeatedly through the years. And unfortunately, it was not a Federal Reserve System. It was not a federal government program. It was a privately owned central bank. The Federal Reserve is a privately owned central bank. They call it federal to confuse you. They have the Congress, which is simply a rubber stamp organization, authorize or confirm the chairman of the Federal Reserve System. When was the last time the Senate ever refused to ratify a chairman of the Federal Reserve Bank that the president wanted? You have to understand that our elected leaders are simply irrelevant. Many of them are bought and sold. Those who are not are neutralized. And it is certainly the ruling elite who determines who will be in charge of our Federal Reserve. And they actually maintain the Federal Reserve not to protect the American people, but to enrich the very wealthy. Go ahead, Bob.
Well, I don't know where we get cut off, but when we get to that point where they're starting to really withdraw credit, then we'll know, because we'll be able to see it. And that'll be the tip-off that they'll probably have about a year to a year and a half more of hyperinflation, and then everything is going to split for the sewer, so to speak.
And, of course, I think this, you actually pointed out in your last international forecaster how they'd actually increased the credit here in the United States, or the, I should say the, I suppose that would be the credit, the debt here in the United States, of $1 trillion in 3 months. That's phenomenal, isn't it?
Well, it certainly is. And, you know, the amount of credit is not abating. It's just getting worse, not only governmental but personal. Fortunately, corporations are doing better because they've been gaining their cash balances through equity placements or bonds, and that's a step away debt, so to speak. It's not cash debt. I mean, you can renege on your dividends and your interest payments, and the holders can't do an awful lot about it. It goes with the game.
So what's your impression of the massive, certainly bond, the debt that the that something like General Motors has? I understand they have about $300 billion in bonds out there at which they have to service, you know, before they can make a profit. And, you know, I would hate to be holding General Motors bonds at the present time. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I agree. I wouldn't buy them, nor Ford's either. Today, they've been trying to seek out a possible merger between Nissan, Ford, and General Motors. The problem is, would Nissan want to do that? And I don't know, but it probably could be workable. Nissan is famous for paying slaves wages with no benefits, and that's where GM and Ford are headed in the United States if they're to keep any production here. And Ford, as you probably know, is in the process of getting ready to build an $8.6 billion facility in Hermosillo in Mexico, which will put another 25,000 people out of work in the United States, and that many in work in Mexico.
And, of course, really, of course, if you actually lose 25,000 automotive jobs, you have to understand there's a multiplier in there. You're really losing well over, you know, 100,000, 125,000 overall jobs because of the people who get jobs because of the jobs at Ford Motor Plant. So this could be just something, one more nail in the coffin of our productivity, couldn't it?
It certainly could, and it's being done deliberately, and it was planned 25 years ago. And so this is, you know, simply nothing new. And they're going to do it as long as they can get away with it.
In fact, for anybody who doubts what Bob is saying, we actually have a four-tape set called The New Order of the Barbarians, which describes a talk that was given in 1969 that anticipated exactly what's happening today for the American automotive industry. It's called The New Order of the Barbarians. It's a must-hear four-tape set. Go ahead, Bob.
I think the only way that this can be stopped is by bringing an end to free trade and globalization, which will stop offshoring and the of corporations and production, and it'll stop also the movement of service jobs, particularly out of the country. And we need tariffs, and we need them badly, and we need them now. And the effect on America already has been devastating, and it's going to get a heck of a lot worse. We're looking at GM and Ford alone this year laying off close to 100,000 people.
And with that, of course, comes another 500,000 people who are going to lose their jobs. Who would be
exactly
supporting those people? So these things that are happening are really devastating, and the average individual doesn't understand that as long as he has his job, as long as his Social Security check is coming, and you know, things aren't too bad for most people, you know, until, of course, you lose your job or your factory moves overseas, and then it's a whole different proposition. And I really fear that, you know, in the coming weeks and months, we're going to see more and more of this happening until one day we wake up and we find we have no industrial base in America. Well, Bob, what are some of the other things that are taking place?
Well, I think we just discussed the credit contraction and when it will happen. There is some indications that it's begun, the withdrawal of the yen carry trade. And that's when you borrow yen, buy dollars, and then take the dollars and go do something else. You might buy treasuries, you might buy stocks in different exchanges and so on and so forth. In fact, some hedge funds leverage it 10 and 20 and 30 to 1, and they take it right to the limit as far as leverage is concerned. That game is ending. It'll probably be completely over at least by the beginning of September. And that's going to withdraw probably, I'll say somewhere between $1 and $2 trillion in liquidity from world markets. But that's an exception. There are not any other places that liquidity is being withdrawn. It's that and the sources that it affects.
Well, Chris, and one thing, Bob, certainly Japan, you know, seems to have been the largest producer of liquidity here for some years. I always thought it was the United States and what we were doing, but Japan, with zero interest rates and lending money at 0% interest, that could then, those yen could be converted to dollars and then carried elsewhere. Japan really is primarily responsible for a lot of the world inflation, hasn't it?
It has, and they did that ostensibly to save themselves and try to get themselves out of depression. And they think they're out of depression now because they're starting to have inflation. And it's running around 2.5% right now. And now the excuse is that what we have to do is withdraw this capital from the banks that's being lent out, and we have to raise interest rates so the value of the yen will increase, and that will give the U.S. dollar the opportunity to go lower in value versus the yen, and that will mean that less goods will be imported into the United States, and they hope more goods will be exported by the United States or services to Japan. The problem with all of that is that when you do that, you can create even more inflation, at least on the short term. And so that's what they're faced with as well. And, but they have been one of, if not the biggest creator of, credit.
And really, of course, this has a devastating effect, not simply, on Japan, but really on the entire world. They've been creating all this liquidity, which has caused this massive expansion of industrialization all throughout the world, and factories are moving in, and people are getting jobs, but pretty soon you have overproduction. You don't have anybody able to buy all the widgets that are being produced throughout the world, and then what happens?
Well, they call that overproduction. And when that happens, inventories fall in value, and assembly lines slow down or they stop, or services slow down or they stop, and that leads to a recession and unemployment, and that in turn naturally contracts the use of credit, and that feeds in itself, and it feeds in itself very, very quickly, far more quickly than inflation does on the upside. And that's what Mr. Bernanke is trying to avoid. In fact, there was discussion this past week.
Hold that for just one moment. We want to hear what Mr. Bernanke said. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We were simply talking about what happens as we begin to get deflation throughout the world. And Bob was saying about Ben Bernanke, also known as Helicopter Bernanke, Mr. Bernanke being the chairman of the American Federal Reserve Board. What did Mr. Bernanke say this last week, Bob?
Well, it wasn't he who said it. It was Robert Reich, and he was a member of the Clinton administration.
He was actually the Secretary of Treasury in the Clinton administration.
That's correct.
He gave up a $40 million a year job with Goldman Sachs because he was such a patriot, and he then became Secretary of the Treasury, getting about $180,000 a year. Boy, you've really got to be idealistic to give up a $40 million a year job for one that pays $180 million, unless you're getting maybe a little side benefits there. But what did Robert Wright, what did he say?
Well, I used to call him the evil dwarf. But anyway, he said that Bernanke is fighting desperately to keep inflation from deflation.
This is Ruben you're speaking of?
This is Robert Reich.
Oh, Robert Reich. No, I'm sorry. He was.
Mr. Bernanke is trying desperately to keep deflation from happening.
Robert Reich was, I think he was Secretary of Labor. That was not the, I would think of Robert Rubin. Go ahead.
So, anyway, I had a discussion on this on Goalseek yesterday, Thursday. And Reich is right. The only thing is you got to put the horse before the cart. And the horse happens to be, at this time, inflation. And it's the only thing that they can go to, the monetary powers, not only here, but throughout the world. And they're going to have to play their hand out by taking inflation as far as they can, even if it goes into hyperinflation. And that's where Mr. Reich is missing the boat. He's going to be right, but it could be 3 to 4 years down the line. And that's a long time to be waiting for something to happen. And so basically he's fundamentally right, but he's wrong. And so we're going to continue to get hyperinflation. They have absolutely no way to go other than that. They're trapped. What Mr. Bernanke inherited from Alan Greenspan is certainly a can of worms.
Why do you think Alan Greenspan did what he did? Certainly Alan Greenspan is a brilliant individual. Alan Greenspan understood what he was doing was going to end up destroying our economy and the solvency of our currency. So why would he have done something that he obviously didn't believe in?
Because of money and fame and power. The ego of people. And he will end up making hundreds of millions of dollars. Every time he makes a speech, he gets $1 million and on and on and on. And that's why they do it. And he understood the problem, and he did exactly as he was told. He doesn't make those decisions. He's told what to do. There are people behind the scenes that are far more intelligent. In fact, his economic consultancy was a disaster before he got his job. The guy was a loser. And he just did what he was told. And so then you have to look behind him and others that are within this elitist set and try to figure out who's given the orders. And that's not easy. You know, you and I have been at this for over 45 years, and Chloe, we probably don't know yet. We can guess, and then, you know, there's changes and so on and so forth. But that's why he did what he did.
All right. Well, I think that what people have to understand is that the purpose of the Federal Reserve System is to maintain a stable currency. When they tell you that we have, you know, no inflation, they're simply lying. As I like to say, I mean, are you going to believe what the government said? Are you going to believe your lying eyes that tell you that the price of gasoline is going up, the price of drugs are going up, the price of medical insurance is going up, the price of housing and food are all going up, and they tell us there's no inflation? I mean, who are you going to believe? The government or your lying eyes? We're going to be back here in just a moment with Bob Chapman. And if you have a question for Bob, why, of course, give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Bob publishes on every week the International Forecaster. It's somewhere between 30 and 50 pages of detailed analysis of the world financial situation. And I'll have to admit, I'm always fascinated. I look forward to reading it. I read it, every page of it, every week. And you know exactly what's happening in Nepal. You know what's happening in Malaysia. You even know a little bit of what's happening here in the United States today. And this is going to determine what sort of future we're going to have. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, Bob, as you know, as we watch the market, it goes up one day, it goes down the next day. One day it's up $100, the next day it's down $200, the next day it's up $75. Is this all simply manipulation?
Well, I think a good part of it is the Fed can't afford to have the stock market go down. And via the working group in financial markets, which is the United States government, and through the Fed's repo pool, they can control all the markets to some extent. And the stock market's very easy to control because you have these ETFs and averages and S&Ps and spiders and things like that. And if you'll notice, they'll go up or down in unison. That is the S&P, Standard & Poor's Index, and the NASDAQ Index and the Dow. If you know the formulas, you can see that they are manipulated together more often than not. And you can see when they do it. A good example was the day before yesterday, Thursday. The market was up 217 points. And this is before the announcement by the Federal Reserve on the interest rates as well as their commentary. And the market was up 84 points before the announcement. Now, you don't take the market up 84 points unless there's a bunch of people that already know what's going down. And I think that a lot of those people bought. And within 3 minutes, the market had jumped 120 points. And that is not normal. And the only way you can accomplish that is by concentrated buying. And
who's got the money to do all that buying is the question.
Well, yeah, it's usually the Federal Reserve and the working group in financial markets, which is the U.S. Treasury.
But, of course, you know, it's illegal to manipulate the stock market unless, of course, you're the government doing it.
Exactly. And they have this executive order signed by Ronald Reagan in 1988 that says that in emergencies they can manipulate the market. But, you know, every day is not an emergency. And so, like many other things, they have twisted the law and gone forward and used it illicitly.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back with Bob Chapman here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Bob Chapman, and these are indeed exciting financial times because you're really seeing, of course, the price of gold and silver begin to skyrocket over this last few days, if this were to continue for any period of time, it would be the greatest run-up of all time. But, Bob, you want to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you and get a copy of the International Forecaster?
Well, first of all, we publish every Saturday normally by email. And we also publish twice a month in hard copy for those who are not on the Internet. And you can get a free complimentary issue by calling toll-free to 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. And for those of you who would like to visit our site, that address is the internationalforecaster.com. The international forecaster.com.
All right, fine, and I can certainly recommend it to you. It's a lot of fascinating information in there, and it gives you tremendous insight into who is doing what and, of course, how all of these things are unfolding before us. And, of course, my fear is that we are heading into a what I've referred to as a financial tsunami, what certainly other people, Jim Poplava, has referred to as the perfect financial storm. Do you think that Poplava's idea that there are a number of things coming together, a number of major forces which are going to result in just ultimately a collapse of the economy, is this a valid assumption?
Yes, I think it is. And if that is the case. And the final analysis, all you can be in is really in gold. Really, that's the bottom line. You know, silver will do well in an inflationary environment, but once the economy turns down and we go into recession and then depression, and part of that recession probably will be inflationary, but after we get into depression, the inflation dies, of course, and you have to be left with something that's worth something. And, you know, the dollar could go down versus gold 60 or 70%, and it could go down versus other currencies anywhere between 30 and 70%. So you want to have something that's not going to go down that much, and historically gold has not. During the 1930s, when things were going down 70 and 80%, and that virtually was everything, gold held its value very well. And incidentally, gold shares did extraordinarily well during that time. I mean, Homestake went from $636 a share during a 5 to 6 year period. And so there are answers to this. And if history holds true, that would be the way to go. I can't envision any other way other than having food, because you need that. But other than that, if you have wealth, that would be the best way to store it.
All right, fine. And so certainly you're advocating people will begin to accumulate gold, of course. But the price has gone up so much, certainly, hasn't it? Should we, you know, can it continue going up from here? Bob?
Hello?
Yes, can you hear me? Bob, can you hear me?
Hello?
Oh, my goodness. Bob, we've lost Bob again. Bob,
hello?
Can you hear me at all? Are you going to have to give me a call back in just a minute then? So we'll disconnect Bob and hope he'll give us a call back. And of course, I'm asking a rhetorical question because I personally believe Bob is absolutely right. I think that people are going to have to begin making preparations to protect themselves, to protect what they have. And you've got to get out of debt, because if you're in debt and you lose your job or your income, you can lose your house, you can become impoverished. And there's any way you can possibly invest in precious metals, this would be a very, very wise thing to do at this time. Our telephone number, of course, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If you're out there, listen to us. You have a question for Bob Chapman, and in lieu of Bob Chapman, you're going to have to talk to me. But I believe we're entering into the most difficult times of my life and of your life as well. I think that, of course, we've been in this inflationary cycle, really going back, certainly, well, at least, of course, till 1980. And at that time, of course, the things had really gotten out of hand. It was in 1971, August 15th. When Richard Nixon actually took the world off the gold standard, and instead of paying for the Vietnam War by increasing taxes, why, of course, what they did was actually to simply borrow the money, or print the money. And we, not only here in the United States, but throughout the world, we started an inflationary cycle that by 1918, you were running at 19% inflation. And, of course, Paul Volcker raised the interest rates to 21-22% to prevent the whole system from imploding. And, of course, instead of really letting it contract for any period of time and getting rid of all the debt they had, why, of course, they then began to inflate again to get the economy moving during the Reagan years. And of course, it's led to where we are today with massive amounts of liquidity out there, which I think is going to result in a terrible disaster. Bob, are you back?
I am, and I'm here for good.
I hope you are, too. Well, anyway, of course.
But it's interesting, the leverage today is enormous compared to what we had in the 1930s. And during the time when Volcker came in 1981, and raise the interest rates to over 20%, you can't do that because the debt is probably 10 times what it was at that period of time. And the debt to GDP ratio was I've got the figures right here, but I'll guess at 269% of GDP. Today they're over 400. And so we really have a doubling of problems, if not more. And lower interest rates are going to be, higher interest rates would be absolutely devastating. And I'm talking about rates that were anywhere from 12 to 20%. It'd be just absolutely horrible. And if that's where they got to go, I fear for people.
And of course, the people who are on adjustable rate mortgages, one of the things that really disturbs me very, very deeply is what they've done to our college students. You know, certainly they got a lot of the college students to start borrowing money so they could go to college. And it was just almost like a gift, 3% interest, wonderful. And then it was at 4% and 4.5% and 5%. My understanding is that the 1st of July, tomorrow, it's going to go up to, in some instances, over 7% for these poor kids, you know, trying to finish up their college. And, of course, they're going to come out, you know, they're not going to be able to go bankrupt. They're going to be stuck with a tremendous loan at 7% interest. That's going to have a terrible effect on the ability of many of your young people to be successful, isn't it?
Well, it is, but, you know, the 7% isn't really the number, because the interest rates are moving from approximately 4 to 7%. So you're looking at a 45% increase in the amount of money that they have to pay. So if they were paying $500, say, a month, hypothetically, they'd be paying almost $1,000. And they really can't handle that. And as it is, it takes them until they're in their 40s and 50s to pay this thing off. And so it's really devastating. In fact, I got a piece, I don't know whether it's in the next issue or in the one you just received, but it talks about the administration and how they want to take money away from the VA and the loan program, food stamps, and a number of other projects. In order to pay $160 million to find out if, or to protect against as well, the people whose, there's 26,000 of them, or what was it, 26 million of them, whose names were stolen from the VA in that laptop. And, you know, they've had the laptop for 2 weeks. They say they don't think it was entered. And they don't tell you how they got it, where they got it, or who did it, which I think is real interesting.
I think this whole thing is a scam to get us to be willing to accept a chip. After all, I got a letter from the VA, as did my son. They got a letter from the VA saying, you know, that your identity may be stolen, but don't you worry about it too much. And if you can always check with us and see what's happening if somebody's spending all your money. And it's a scam. I mean, they are spending a great deal of money to create this fear of identity theft, and the solution to that, everybody should have a chip. Then we wouldn't have to worry anymore, would we?
Bob, no, we certainly wouldn't.
Somebody has called in, and they apparently have a number of pieces of property, several pieces of property which they owe money on. And their question is, would it be beneficial to hold of that property and let hyperinflation wipe out their debt so that actually then they could turn around and sell that property? And of course, the inflation would, the price of the property go up, and the inflation would wipe out the debt. How would you respond to that?
Well, interest rates are going higher, so the price of property is not going to go up, number one. Number two, wages are not going up as fast in salaries as inflation is. Inflation is double what the increases are in wages and salaries. So that means that as the inflation goes up, it gets harder and harder to service that debt. So the premise which you bring is wrong. What you should be doing is selling the properties and denuding yourself of the responsibility of having to meet that debt. And either that or paying the buildings off. And if you have several pieces, that's usually not a viable thing to do. And for those who have been listening to this program for the last several years that I've been on it, I've told people residual real estate should be sold. And I told people that last June was the top of the market. It would start to show up in September. And from there on, the growth in prices of homes would go down. And by this coming September, we'll start to head into negative territory. So if you're going to sell anything, I wouldn't quibble about price. Just get rid of it.
All right, fine. I think that's a very interesting point of view.
You know, I'll tell you a little story. There was somebody in Connecticut had a home, and they had it up for $390,000. And then they dropped it to $380,000. And someone came by and said, we'll give you $350,000 for it. And so they asked me what to do. I said, take it. So anyway, they went to take it, and the bank says, no, we only can appraise this at $340,000. The party said, what do? I said, take the $340,000. The house is bid out now at $290,000. And that was only a little over a year ago.
All right, and Kirsten, the thing is, though, that if you get the money, you don't want to just have it, sitting in the bank, because inflation can wipe out the value of that at a tremendous rate. So if you were in that position, then you should be investing in either foreign currencies or in gold and silver. Would that be your suggestion, Bob?
Right, and if you do foreign currencies, please make sure that you do not do them yourself. You must have a professional. And do not try to trade on your own any market. And that is period. Do not do it. You get with the trend and you stay long until the trend is over.
I think it was very interesting what happened to gold stocks this last couple of days. When gold was going up, certainly Gold Corp and some of the other gold stocks were acting, certainly reversing the process that's been in before. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, and what happened today was they went bonkers. We had Gold Corp up 79 cents, and we had Agnico up 124. But they're still not really performing yet, although those two are almost 10 points from their highs, which is now approximately 30% down from their very highs. The United States government is in the market, and they're shorting these stocks. And they're trying to do anything that they can to bring chaos, confusion, to lose faith for those who believe that gold and silver are part of the answer, if not the answer. And that's part of what they've been doing all along, but they only can do it for so long. And the market will break out. You can't stop markets. When markets are underway, they're underway. And I don't care what you do, you're not going to stop them.
Well, how long do you think they're going to be able to hold the price of gold down?
Well, I think they're over for this scheme. I think we're going back here to the test 730, certainly before the end of the year, and maybe in September, maybe even before that, the way it's going. And I think that we can see 850 by the end of the year. We should have seen 850 last year. If the central banks hadn't sold so much gold, we would have saw it.
How long are they going to be able to control silver? Silver is, they was down almost 30% here.
Actually, it was down 46%.
Was it really?
And it's come back pretty strongly, close to 1080 or something like that today. And but we're a long way. And the CFTC, on orders from the United States government, those are the regulators. They know what's going on. You get four market makers, specialists, if you may, and what they're doing is they're manipulating the market on behalf of the United States government. And they can't do that forever. And the reason why is it's just not enough silver.
Well, of course, the thing is that the other places in the world, there's demand for silver and gold in countries throughout the world. And so we really can no longer manipulate these markets as effectively as we have in the past, can we?
No. And, I've got some statistics here. I just wrote them today. And they're very interesting. especially in regard to China. I can pull them up here if you just hold on a second, but you'd be very surprised. We'll get a break here anyway.
No, go right ahead, because I'll tell you when we have to stop it.
Okay.
I think certainly China's a wild card. I think Russia's a wild card. I think that both of these countries are trying to protect their currencies, and they're switching from the dollar to gold. Would that be a fair statement?
Well, I know that China and Russia are.
Right.
And, Russia wants to be one of the leading currencies of the world, and rightly so. They get $146 billion in cash and gold. And, you know, why shouldn't they? The currency is certainly better than that of the U.S. dollar, because they don't have any debt to speak of. In fact, their only debt is going to be paid off very shortly.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, I guess Bob Chapman, and Bob is certainly talking about some figures he has here that telling us what China is doing as far as gold. But go ahead, Bob, do you have that?
Well, I don't have it, but from memory, it's already gone to typing, but from memory, China 20 years ago used 900 tons of silver a year, and now they're using 2,600 tons. And they only produce about 1,000 tons. So they're big buyers in the market. They sold a tremendous amount of silver back when silver was between $4 and $6, and I was told the United States government was behind that. They asked them to sell it to keep the price down, and they gave them all sorts of reasons as to why. And they did, they were a major seller of their stockpile silver, and as it turns out, they virtually gave it away. And production in China is increasing at 10% a year, but it's not nearly enough to make up their shortfall. And the real problem with silver is that there just isn't enough of it. And at least under these circumstances we're in now, and there's a shortfall of production every year, and the inventories have just dropped, I think the figure is 102 million ounces, and it hasn't been there for a long, long time. In fact, it broke down this week below its previous low. I don't know the exact figures. I have to refer back to my publication. But anyway, there just isn't a lot of silver around. And the same is true with copper and zinc and lead, and now nickel. And so I think base metals could double from here, and I think silver and gold could do a lot more than that.
All right, fine, Joe. Where do you think silver's going?
Well, I think $50 is a given, and I think a $1,700 gold is fair just to get back the inflation that we lost in the price. And at those levels, we'll decide from there. We don't know what's going to happen. We live in a totalitarian state, unfortunately, and it's getting worse every day. I was really knocked over when the Supreme Court came with their decision on Guantanamo Bay and summary trials. That's the first time that the president's been knocked down a peg.
Hey, we're going to have to let you go, Bob. We're out of time. God bless, and thanks so much. Look forward to having you again in a week or so.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and it's always a pleasure having Bob Chapman with us. In fact, it's been a fascinating evening. I hope you've enjoyed the programs as much as I have. If you'd really like, of course, to understand what's going on financially, we have a great talk. It's called Financial Tsunami. And we explain the derivatives and the carry trade and the hedge funds and all of these things. And, of course, you get a syllabus with this that has all the government figures and explains so much of what's really going on today and the terrible problem we have as far as debt. And most people have no idea we're on the edge, on the very edge of this gigantic tidal wave sweeping across our nation. So if you'd like to get the either the DVD or the VHS, Financial Tsunami, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like, of course, to get our other material, you can get the syllabus that goes with that. We hope many of you would want to get the Coming Crisis, a talk I gave. It's always very, very similar to the Financial Tsunami talk. But we carry the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. We carry the Federal Reserve Conspiracy. And, of course, a little book, which I think is so important, Fiat Money Inflation in France, because it tells you what happened in France back in 1789 when they tried to do exactly what we're doing today. Now, how do we really understand how this fits together? We put together a little pamphlet called The History of Money. That's The History of Money. It's inexpensive, but it goes into the spiritual forces, because there are spiritual forces at work behind everything that is going on in the world today. And we do hope that many of you will want to get our material going into the background of these spiritual forces. And if you don't understand them, you'll want to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. That's Brotherhood of Darkness. And certainly you get the DVD or video of that, but it will introduce you to an entirely different dimension of reality. And you can't understand anything that's going on today unless you understand the spirits of forces which are driving everything that's going on. You watch television, you see the story of the medium. This wonderful, sweet woman, Alison DeBaugh, got three wonderful children, and she helps the district attorney find out who the bad guys are. But how does she do it? She taps into the other dimension. And there is another dimension. You want to know more about it, you need to get our videos or DVDs called Megiddo 1 and Megiddo 2. That's Megiddo 1, Megiddo 2. And then our DVD, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning. That's The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning. And it will take you into an entirely different dimension of understanding. Our four tape set on the supernatural. Our book, The Beautiful Side of Evil, which is, of course, written by Johanna Michelson, who herself was a medium. And, of course, she was in contact with these other dimensions, and she was being trained as a sorcerer's apprentice, a faith healer woman who could do psychic surgery. And then, of course, eventually she understands that, of course, this is all demonic. There really are demonic forces in the world. They're not imaginary, they're real. And they're influencing many of our world leaders today, who are doing things that are totally irrational. In fact, so much of what's going on just doesn't make sense. And it won't make sense unless, of course, you understand the force that drives the affairs of men. Because truly, we are involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Western civilization. We do hope many of you will go to our webpage. We do carry the Berkey products, or we carry the Miracle 2 products, and the Robinson Homeschool curriculum, the Sanjian Radio, all sorts of videos and tape sets. If you'd like to get our health catalog and learn about the health products that you need to maintain your health in times like these, number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, if you'd like to get the health catalog, we'd be glad to send it to you. We ask you, of course, to give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family, because that's primarily how we're able to do what we do 5 hours a day. And then pray for America. Pray for revival. Because if we don't turn back to God as a nation, why, God is going to abandon America. And lastly, we ask you to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.